Amen. You pray for Miss Jessica tonight. She's going to sing a song or so. And then we'll get into the preaching hour.
Calling me,
oh, yeah.
To give his life, and I am
Glad we live in a world where faithfulness don't mean much, but it means something to God.
Amen.
And I'm glad He's faithful to me. I'm telling you, He'll be faithful to you. He provides for us. He keeps a roof over our head and clothes on our back and food on our table. God is so good to us.
Amen.
I appreciate your faithfulness to being here tonight. I've been excited about it. The church knows I've been excited about it. Can't hardly not talk about my pastor without smiling. I love him dearly. I'm thankful for what God's put in my life. I'm thankful for it. So preacher, you come preach to us tonight. Let's give him a warm welcome tonight if you make it.
Been rough on your preacher around here. He's got a cast on his hands. I hope you're not that rough on the evangelist this week. Well, the Lord's been good to us.
Amen.
If you love Him, say amen tonight.
Amen.
If you have a Bible with you, if you turn with us over the book of Joshua, chapter number 24,
it's a joy to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Appreciate the goodness of God.
Amen.
It's been to us. Good to see some of our old friends in the meeting tonight. Sure am glad the Lord's here.
Amen.
A good crowd on Monday night. I appreciate you braving the weather and the preaching. Amen.
Amen.
You know, though, I didn't see a mule and buggy tied up outside nowhere tonight. Not like we hadn't got a heater in our car.
That's right. Thank you.
I appreciate you being out on a Monday night. Try to get right in the preaching, share my heart, and be thoughtful of your time. I don't take it lightly that you come to church. A lot of places you could be tonight. And
I've always, where I pastor, I've got people that half of our church is Alabama, half is Georgia. And I've got people driving 45, 50 minutes to church. When they get there, I've always thought, I need something to give them.
Amen.
If I have a preacher there, I want him to have something to say.
Amen.
So I'll try not to waste your time this week, but I would like to challenge you and try to mind the Lord out of the Word of God. Joshua 24. Joshua is a very unique Bible character. Joshua was a man that had great responsibility. He had walked behind one of the greatest men of God that ever served the Lord, Moses.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Moses as your pastor?
Mm.
Could you imagine how a man like Moses could look at you and see right through you? Moses was one of those preachers when he pointed his finger, like he was about this long,
right,
going all the way into your heart. God used Moses in a great way. He called quail out of heaven and fed the children.
Yeah.
He brought water out of a rock. They come to the Red Sea. Moses said, we go on the other side.
That's right. Amen.
Moses led the people of God across the Red Sea. Moses lost his temper. He got out of character with God. God let him go up on a mountain to see the promised land, but wouldn't let him enter into it. But he brought up Joshua that was in the camp. Now Joshua has been given the responsibility to take the children of Israel into Canaan land. And here in the pages of Joshua chapter number 24, you'll notice that Joshua dies at the end of the chapter. And I'm interested many times in the Bible with the last words of dying men. If you and I were to stand before a congregation tonight, I wonder what our last words would be.
Right.
Joshua says something in chapter 24 that has challenged my heart and my life. He says in verse number 1, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. He called for the elders of Israel, for their heads and for their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Nothing's changed. They did not present themselves before Joshua. They did not present themselves before Moses, but they presented themselves before God.
Amen.
That reminds me of where we all will stand one day.
Right.
We will all give an account of this life before God. One that judges well.
Yes, sir. The
Bible said in verse 2, and Joshua said to all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood, on the other side of the river of the Euphrates, is what he's alluding to. He said, in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan. And I multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses, and also an Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came in the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after the fathers with the chariots and horsemen under the Red Sea. When they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. I brought you in the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor,
The king of Moab arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Preacher, what's going on there? They even brought the witches of the land against the children of Israel. God would not allow the witchcraft to touch His children. You and I may be surprised what God has kept us from in this day and this hour. I'm glad we've got a God doing big things when we're not looking tonight.
Amen.
He said, I wouldn't hearken unto Balaam. Therefore He blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came into Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you. The Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hevites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. I've given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on those side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Whether the gods your father served that on the side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
That's right.
Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you for this time together in the house of God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for these kind people that you've gathered together in this assembly. Thank you for my friends and family here tonight. Lord, I pray you let preaching be easy a few minutes. Pray you'd use us to be a blessing, the people of God. Help us. Pray you'd challenge our hearts with the Scriptures tonight. I'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. I want to preach out of this chapter tonight, and I want to pull verse 15 as a text where Joshua said these words, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want to preach on this simple topic. I've got my mind made up.
Amen.
You know, we live in a day and an hour when it seems like people don't have their mind made up. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I'm not sure, I don't have my mind made up? It'd be a good time for you tonight to make your mind up about sin, right? Sin is still terrible in the eyes of God.
Amen.
For God sent His Son to take away the sin of this world. It costs God everything because of sin. And sin will cost you everything. You see, when you start playing with sin, before long, sin will be playing you.
That's right.
It'd do us good to be as scared of sin as a rattlesnake. Sin is not our friend. Sin will take you places that you thought you would never wind up tonight.
That's right.
The drunkard never thought he'd be a drunkard tonight by taking one drink. The dope addict would never thought he'd be hooked on the drugs of this world. But the devil is so subtle and he's so enticing, and we must realize that sin is our enemy tonight.
Right.
So we need to make our mind up about sin. We need to make our mind up about the Savior. There's nobody good as He is.
Amen.
There's nobody that's never loved me like Jesus.
Amen.
He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible said a man that has friends may show himself friendly. But there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. If you don't have many friends tonight, you tell it on yourself.
Right.
Man that has friends must show himself friendly.
Amen.
Some of y'all gonna have to hire pallbearers to tote you to the graveyard. Amen.
Yes.
So you gotta be friendly. You gotta respond to people and be good to people. We need to make our mind up about the Savior. He hung on a cross and He died for the sins of the world. If you took a survey in America tonight, they would tell you there are many options, many roads lead to heaven. But my Bible says there's one way to the gate, and that is by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight. We need to make our mind up about sin. We need to make our mind up about the Savior. We need to make our mind up about our salvation. I'm glad what God does, He does forever.
Yes, sir.
And when God saves you, the Bible said the day that He saves you, the Spirit of God comes and lives inside. He tabernacles inside of us, walks among us in this world. And friend, let me tell you, when God moves in, there'll be a change made in your life.
Amen.
The Bible said that when He comes inside, He makes a difference.
Yes, it does.
So I've got my mind made up about sin, about my Savior, about my salvation. I got my mind made up about society. We live in the craziest day that I've ever seen in all of my born days. I don't want to watch too much Fox News or I'll be a Fox News commentator tonight. But I can tell you this, friend, this world is crazy, and it's been crazy a long time, but now crazy's got an iPhone stuck in their face.
Yeah.
I got my mind made up about society. This is not my home, and it's not your home. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger on a journey headed yonder to the great city tonight. Bull Abraham, he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He didn't drive his tent stakes down too deep in this whole world because he knew he would leave it. I've been pastoring a long time. I've yet to preach a funeral where anybody took anything out of this world with them. But only what we have in our heart is what leaves out with us. I'm glad that Jesus is in my heart tonight. Got my mind made up about society. I got my mind made up about the sanctuary. There are just some things that the sanctuary can only do. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I'll just stay home and get a CD. Well, Thomas stayed home one day. Somebody sent him a CD, but it didn't take place in the Lord moving in the midst. Can I tell you something? The sanctuary is very important to God tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad it's important to you. It ought to be the prettiest place in town. It ought to be a respected place and a holy place. A place where people can hear the gospel and be loved and accepted.
Amen.
A place where people can pray together and love one another and worship God. Oh, I've got my mind made up about the sanctuary. I've got my mind made up about the saints. Somebody said that it's no more Christians left. I know a few folks still trying it tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thankful of the saints of God that I've met in my life. I've got my mind made up about the sinner. Without Christ, they die and go to hell in their sin, and nothing's changed in our Bible. Oh, we need to have a burden for the sinner and pray for them.
Yeah.
Be a light to them in a dark world and help them. Tell them about Jesus. But tonight I'm preaching on, I've got my mind made up. In Joshua 24, you'll see the reason why Joshua made this statement. There are some things that made his mind up. You've heard people say, well, I'm waiting to see some things before I make my mind up. Joshua had seen some things and it made his mind up. All right, let's look and see what made his mind up. First of all, in verse number 1, he talked about the journal. He said, I got my mind made up because of the journal. The Bible said that he gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and all the elders of Israel. He said in verse 2, he said, Joshua said to the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, they served other gods. I took your father Abram from the other side of the flood and led him throughout the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. Here Joshua saying, I've got my mind made up because of the journal. He said, God, you've been good to my fathers. I wonder, is anybody here that God's been good to your fathers?
Amen.
He said about this journal, he said not only about my fathers, but in verse 3 about their faith. He said, God, you reached in and you let them out. I'm glad we've got a God that's been good to our fathers. I'm glad I've got a journal in my life that tells me not only about my fathers, but about their faith. Mom and daddies, let me tell you something. You may think that what you're doing is not very productive, but what you're putting in your children around the house of God, this world cannot put it in them tonight.
Right.
So Joshua said, I want to be reminded to you about your fathers, about their faith. Then verse 3 said, I don't want you to forget about our family. He said, he multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. It's amazing to me how good God has been to my family. I seen a video last night of a preacher gone by. Me and my wife sat down on the bed at the church and we watched that video. One of my daughters came in, Macy's 32 years old. We've got 4 grandchildren. She came in and said, Daddy, it's so good to see you and Mama sitting together watching a movie together. You say, why do you say that? I'm thankful for my family. Before I left out this evening, I went by to the grandchildren's house. Brother John, I got out of the car, and they all run to me like they hadn't seen me in a year. They knew I was only gone 4 days. But let me tell you something. Family means something to me tonight. And I said, I've got a journal in the Word of God, where God has moved on my forefathers and helped me and multiplied them and been good to them for my
health. Amen.
I got my mind made up because of the journal. And then he said, secondly, he had his mind made up because of the journey. He said in verse 5 that God said, I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward, here's a great phrase, I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen under the Red Sea. And they cried to the Lord. He put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes are seeing what I've done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you in the land of the Amorites that dwelt on the other side of Jordan. They fought with you and I gave them into your hand. Got his mind made up because of the journey. Look in verse 5. He said, I want to remind you this. God said, don't ever forget that I brought you out. Underline that in verse 5 tonight. I brought you out. Thank God for the journey. And then he said in verse number 8, not only did I bring you out, but he said something spoke volumes to my heart. I brought you in too. Can I tell you, there's a God that'll take you out and bring you in too tonight. I wonder, does anybody remember where you was when God found you?
That's right.
We sing Amazing Grace now when we raise our hands toward the God of heaven. Don't ever get used to being saved. I come up under a preacher one time. He's a very jealous spirited type man. I announced my call to preach that I've been preaching 8 months or 10 months. And he walked up to me and he said, Ken, let me tell you something short of in a side remark. He said, you're going to lose them tears and you're going to lose that shout. But I'm going to tell you something. By the good grace of God, I'm not lost not one of them tonight. I remember where God found me and where he brought me into. Thank God he didn't lead me over to Egypt's land, but he brought me in the promised land. Oh, I'm thankful for what he does. I've never gotten over being brought out.
Oh, yeah.
I was doing a lot of things I'm very ashamed of tonight. But I can tell you one thing. Through all of that culture and lifestyle I was in, when my mind goes back to them places, the Spirit of God said something to me. And now when I do wrong, the reason I know I'm saved, I can't do it wrong no more. Amen. There's somebody lives in me, that's convicting me, convincing me. You don't need the FBI to keep me right. The Spirit of God lives in me, tells me when I'm not doing right.
That's right.
My wife will say, "Kid, that's pretty clear." But when God says something, it's real clear.
Amen.
So I've got my mind made up because of the journal. You see, that was the way. I got my mind made up because of the journey. That's the walk. He brought me out and He brought me into a place. Let me tell you something. God did not save us to leave us that way. He wants us to grow and progress in the things of God. This is what bothers me. And I'm not being ugly to you tonight, but I want you to think about what I'm fixing to say. It bothers me that I pastored people for 20 and 25 years, but they never respond to God. That bothers me. And it ought to bother you. If the godless Bible lives in you, you ought to respond to Him sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Meeting to break out, people look around like, what in the world is going on? God's moving.
That's right.
God's talking. God's saying something.
Yes, sir.
One of the greatest ladies I've ever pastored. She didn't chat. I don't know if I've ever seen her raise her hand. She has Alzheimer's tonight, can't come to church. She loves God, loves her church, and loves her preacher. I tell you what I see her do, Brother John, you see her weep. You see her reach down that pocketbook and pull a hanky out and wipe her little eyes out. You say, what are you talking about? She is responding to God.
Amen. Right.
Bothers me when people sit there like a wedge. There's never no response to the moving of the Holy Ghost of God. Tonight, got my mind made up. You got your mind made up. You got your mind made up to serve God, love one another, be faithful to your church, live for God till we meet Him. You got your mind made up.
Good, preacher.
Joshua did. You see, he had his mind made up because of the journal. Had his mind made up because of the journey. But in verse 11, he had his mind made up because of the Jordan. The Bible said, and he went over Jordan. You see, Jordan is deep waters.
Yep.
As our sister was singing tonight, under the shadow of His wings, there be Jordans in your life that you and I, we can't swim across.
That's right.
We can't wade across. Nobody can take us across. God's got to take us across.
Amen.
Right. He may be tonight. Look how the Spirit of God wrote in the King James Bible in verse 11, and you went over Jordan. Some of you are stopped at your Jordan and you can't get over what's happened to you. You got to realize by the grace of God, you got to get over your Jordan, that place that's got you stopped serving God. Ask Him to help you to get over it tonight.
Yes, sir.
Preacher, people's offended me. Well, they offend me at Walmart too, but I have to go back down there every now and then. I mean, we live in a thin-skinned society.
That's right.
You families need to get some glue in your britches.
Amen.
And some grit in your crawl and stand up and say, I got my mind made up. I'm going to serve the Lord. If the devil hollers, boom, some of you run out of the parking lot.
Right?
You know I'm preaching, right? Got my mind made up because of the Jordan, these deep waters. And you know something, I don't downplay these things tonight. Walking with the Lord, I faced some Jordans. They were deep waters and dark waters. They were dangerous waters and drowning waters. They were overtaking me. But I'm glad there's a God that got me across by His good grace tonight.
Amen.
You might not can thank God for the answer, but you can thank Him for grace.
Oh, yes.
Right.
For He said, my grace is sufficient. What's got you stopped at Jordan tonight? Wouldn't it be a blessing if you went over it? Joshua said, I got my mind up about Jordan. He said, I faced it. And you got 3 million people that know how to get across. God said, if I trust in you, get me across. And God got him across. And God can get you across. God got me across, and I got my mind made up because of the Jordan. Nobody else can get me over the pains of the Jordan but Jesus.
Right.
It takes time, and I know that. They didn't get across Jordan in an hour. They had to wait for God to do something.
Amen.
Let me tell you, the God that parted the Jordan waters is still the God that can part them tonight.
Amen.
You that are older, served God. Everything was good. And all of a sudden you faced the Jordan. You couldn't get through it. You couldn't get over it. But God done something for you. And y'all remind yourself tonight, God got my mind made up because that Jordan you let me get across. You did it, and I know you did it. Dangerous waters, dark waters, drowned waters. But he didn't stop there. He said, I got my mind made up because of the journal. Because of the journey, because of the Jordan. But in verse number 11, he said, I got my mind made up because of the Jericho. He said, we went over Jordan and came into Jericho. Now, let me ask you tonight, if Jordan is a type of the waters, what is a type of Jericho? It's a type of walls of the world. You see, when they got across Jordan, there was an obstacle there. There was a Jericho in their life. Jericho, the wall, was, some say, 90 foot tall, 30 foot wide. It was built at a slant so that men could not run upon it, but it was treacherous to get across. It was inhabited by the enemies of the people of God. You say, Brother Ken, it seems like I've hit a wall in my life. You ever met something in your Christian walk of life that it seems like you couldn't dig under, you couldn't jump over, and you just couldn't bust through it? The walls were too wide. It was impassable. You couldn't get through it. There are walls of addictions tonight. When I was a young man, I was addicted to some very bad things in this old world. Young people, I got around the wrong crowd. Rolled one up and smoked it, and it was a problem. When I wanted to leave it alone, it wouldn't leave me alone.
Right?
But I'm glad God took care of that great wall in my life.
Amen, sir.
Many of you are facing walls in your life. But I want to remind you of this. Jericho was impassable. It was impossible. And what God told them to do was very impractical. You know what He told them to do? This Bible's amazing. This Bible never quits talking. They faced the wall of Jericho. God told Joshua, He said, this is what you tell the people to do. You get 7 priests. You bear the ark. Let them get them all round torn. March around that city 1 pound a day for 6 days. Let the people of God march in behind them. Like what the Bible said, don't you say a word. You just march.
That's right.
That'd do us good tonight. Just march. Not say nothing but trust our God.
That's right.
Then he said on the 7th day, this is what I want y'all to do. So when you compact it 7 times, Those seven priests are before you carrying that ark, and they have the ram's horns, and they start blowing. And when I holler for you to shout, you shout. Could you imagine the folks there in Jericho looking at this? Could you imagine the snickering that they got, the belittling they got? Could you imagine the heckling they got? What are y'all doing? Y'all lost your mind. What are you doing? Y'all look crazy. They just walked around and went back to camp. But on the seventh day, they got around it the sixth time. He said, now the seventh time, when I tell you to shout, I want you to shout. And could you imagine some million and a half people going to shouting? Wow. And the Bible said, and the wall fell down flat.
That's right.
And I tell you, y'all, people, it's been quiet way too long.
That's right.
Shouting is still order in the house of God. Still in order. Still all right to say amen.
Amen.
Shake your little baby's head up and down tonight. The church of camp's been way too silent to them. Now tell them to redeem the Lord, say so. Boy, and a man of God, 100 steps. Could you imagine that step? And God showed me something sitting back there about while our official was singing. I looked at that verse. You know, a shout all sound different than a horn.
That's right.
They had heard them horns for 6 days. They had heard no shout. Maybe our problem is people heard the horn, but they hadn't heard the shout.
Right.
What's all that shouting about? Jesus saves.
That's right.
He gives a new life. Right. He gives new chances. There's nobody like him. And I thank him tonight.
Amen.
I got my mind made up to cross the Jordan, the water. Got my mind made up because of Jericho, the walls. Then he said in verse 14, I got my mind made up because of my job. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on those sides of the flood. I pastor people that come to church and it's not something else better to do on Sunday. God ought to be the priority.
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Right.
You ought to drive a stake down in your home, and every decision you got goes around the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not we're going to serve Him if we haven't got something else better going on. You say, His job, what are you talking about? Well, this is what He said. He said, He talked about soberness. Fear the Lord. What's happened to the fear of God in our land? Some of you old people, maybe you can relate to this tonight. I asked an older man of God a few years ago. It hadn't been that long. I was at a camp meeting. We were eating dinner that night. He's about 85 years old. And I asked him, I said, preacher, so I asked you something. Why don't we see the people saved now that you've seen in your generation back in the 50s and 60s? And he was puzzled and looked at me and he said, preacher, I think I know why. He said, I thank God showed me a few months back, and this is what he said, there's no fear of God. Listen to me. God is my friend by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That word fear don't mean that you're scared. He's our friend. He walks with you. It means a reverence.
Right.
A holiness, a respect. Can I tell you, God's still on the throne tonight.
Yes, He is.
He's still high and holy. He said, fear the Lord. Serve Him in soberness. Serve Him in sincerity. Your job. We've all got a job in the body of Christ. We need each other. We need everybody. going in the same direction. We don't need union. We need unity.
Right.
Big difference. You say big difference in union and unity? Sure is. You get two Tomcats and time each by the tail, pull them over a clothesline. You got union, but you ain't got unity.
Right.
Need unity. Serving the Lord with sincerity. And then lastly, he said, I've got my mind made up about serving the Lord because of the Jordan, because of the Jericho, because of my job. But lastly, I've got my mind made up because of Jesus. He said in verse 15, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods of your fathers serve on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Amen.
I could preach 30 more minutes on this one point, but I want to say this and be done tonight. There was a decision made. I've heard people say, well, preacher, you ought not get people to make a decision. Joshua asked the people to make a decision. Choose you. And choose you this day whom you'll serve. You see, a lot of you say, well, preacher, I'm going to make that decision, but maybe tomorrow. What if tomorrow don't make it? Some of you have been thinking about being saved. The Bible said today's the day of salvation. You might not live till tomorrow. Wouldn't it be a blessing tonight if you could make your mind up about the Lord? Now look what he says. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. First of all, it was a personal choice. You've got to make the decision yourself. Then secondly, it was a parental choice. He said, for me and my house, I still believe that the man's supposed to leave the home.
Right.
I know it's 2020. But 2020 hasn't changed this Bible.
Right.
The man's to leave the home. The wife is not a doormat. She's not a doorstep. She's to follow the Lord with her husband. But sir, you're to lead your family to God.
Right.
Was a parental choice. Well, we'll just take a vote. Won't you be a man? Lead your family. Ladies, you may not have a husband. Let Jesus be your husband. Let Him lead you to serve God and stand firm on the Word of God. It was a personal choice. It was a parental choice. Lastly, it was a public choice. He said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't think he said it silently. John, I don't know what you want for music tonight, if you've got somebody on the piano, whatever you want to do, but I'm going to say this tonight. If there's ever been a generation in the church needs to make their mind up, it's tonight.
That's right.
You may be here and you're at a Jordan. Seems like you can't get across. Maybe at Jericho you can't get through. If you'll trust the God of His life, He'll do things in you that you will amaze yourself. See, I don't have no say over your house. Just my house. Hey, several preachers has challenged me for the years as being pastor.
You gonna let them people do that? I'm not their God.
Right.
I don't run your house. I got responsibility at my house. And I got more of my house that I can see about than at your house.
That's right.
But it's for me in my house. I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'll tell you, through that lamentable choice, there are times my children didn't like it. There are times now my children are grown, they do things that I don't approve of. But they're out from under my headship. They're married. But I tell you what, I found out what I can say about them. It's what's in this code tonight.
Yes, sir.
Me. What about your house? I wonder if you got your mind made up. Men, you need your mind so made up that you're going to serve God and stand with your preacher like never before. These compromising winds that are blowing across our country, now they label us as we're mean. This Bible's still right.
Sure is.
Right. Some of you young people, you've got peer pressure that we never had in school. You need to make your mind up. I was reminded, I think a lot of you can relate to this. There was a championship game. Two teams played, and it was very close, and tied up, and they had one play. They only had about 4 or 5 yards to get the ball across the goal line. There was just one little bitty boy. The coach called a timeout. The little bitty boy on the team walked up to the coach. He said, "If you'll let me in, I'll run that ball in there." The coach done something astounding as the whole grandstands. After timeout, he run that little boy in the hub. Snapped the ball, gave it to the little boy. He run in and scored, and they won the championship game. Cameras were stuck in his face, and the coach's face said, "We cannot believe it. You called that play and made that decision. You gave that ball to him." This boy said, "Yes." He had his mind made up.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I want my mind made up tonight.
Amen.
Our sister plays. She just plays something. I let those moms and I don't care what she the face that God can see about it. What we just come to talk with you tonight? What a man in your heart when you take these words of Joshua and say, "Lord, help me get my mind made up. Lord, I want to serve you for me and my house. I'm going to serve the Lord. Maybe your face is distorted. Maybe your face is Jericho. God, this is how I want to see you. Stay with him and trust him. Your family serve him. Older family, stay with him. For he loves you. There's nothing too hard.
some of you here tonight might be having some big decisions, some big things going on in your life. I enjoyed that preaching. I'm telling you today, if you need some help, God will be all the help that you need. You need to make your mind up about God tonight, though. He's willing and He's able if you'd come to Him. If you'd just spend some time talking to Him. Don't let the devil keep in your seat. Don't let him run that across your mind. God already knows what you need. God does know everything. But He wants us to talk to Him and tell Him about it. God would love for you to ask Him some things so He can show you some things in your life. And it's up to you tonight. How much of God do you want in your life? Life is hard, and you're not going to be able to do it by yourself. We need the Lord. What are you struggling with tonight? If you'll bring it to Him, He'll help you. Before Jesus healed people, before He did things, He'd always ask them, "Do you believe?" I'm here to tell you there's something tonight you can believe in, and it's Jesus Christ. He'll help you what you need, whatever you need. He's faithful, He's true, He's all we need.